Divorce in Islam.
A dialogue between a Western Orientalist and a Muslim savant about the verity of divorce in Islam. Your yearning and truthful spirit insists on finding out some facts which slipped from all mankind's memory. I am very much pleased for your question about a dilemma that the celebrities and scholars of religion have failed to resolve. The subject of divorce.
Is divorce better than agreement? Isn't sincerity more blessed than a legitimate denial of companionship and the sublime love? Isn't marriage a contract between two partners in accordance with God's will? Why do you Muslims divorce a faithful wife that sacrificed her family for your sake, so that you throw her into the lap of misery and distress after you picked up the blossom of her youthfulness? Is this your ideal humanity? No doubt, divorce is the most hateful licit act to God. But I wonder, why do you have this parting from the sacred marital relation as legitimate in your religion?
No doubt, if we face two problems, the sweetest thing of which is sheer bitterness, then you choose one where there is no look for a chooser. But if we fall between the claws of evil, we surely choose the easiest and the simplest one. Suppose a husband has chosen a certain wife for her beauty, for her affability, or for her delicacy. After the lapse of a period upon their marriage lines, it was found that there was a disparity in tempers, a discrepancy in temperaments, and disharmony in manners. Then, contrariness of spirits and their disharmonies and their differences and dissimilarities were uncovered. Therefore, quarrel took the place of concord, and discord took the place of friendliness, and antipathy took the place of love, until the couple became like two strangers, not two lovers. The sexual drive of the couple ended after it had been flaming, and as a result, it cooled off. So, animosity and discord prevailed, and the dissension was escalated and intensified until the family became broken in the full meaning of the word. The spirits tightened, and it was impossible for the couple to live under one roof. In such a case, isn't it better for the two parties to cancel their marital bond, which was solemnized for happiness? Since it became such a contract for misfortune, discord, and deprivation from bliss, isn't it better for each one of them to search for a new partner that may be suitable for him or her and can verily make him or her happy? If we force them to remain together under duress in this deplorable situation, what would happen? The husband would take the wrong path, following ways to satisfy his sexual appetites by committing adultery. When the miserable husband took the wrong path, his wife would likewise take the wrong turning. They would hurl slanders at one another and would exchange perfidies between themselves. But God does not oblige people to worship him by force. Therefore, there would be no outlet but parting and release by divorce. The enforcement of the couple living under one roof when they have become mutually hateful to one another would not satisfy human conscience. All civilized countries refuse what comes forcibly. Thus, divorce inevitably became a hateful solution. But what coerced you to bitterness, save the bitterest thing?
Verily, this is an astonishing logical talk. There is no way except the divorce after this account for such situations. I accept reality and certainty, but I detest hypocrisy. This is conscious awareness, and what is exception is mere torture. I know that evil will prevail among children who will, in turn, imbibe hatred and dispute from the father and the mother. The dispute of the parents will put the family in misery, and the boat of marriage will fall in the sea of family hell, and the children will be rendered miserable. In such a case, I am with divorce. It is more righteous to admit divorce than to remain in error, although we have omitted the word divorce from our dictionary forever. Divorce is a necessity in such cases. Verily, I rightly say that Islam has nobility of character and high-class humanity, which I have not known before. Yet there is an inquiry about one point, simple in its utterance, but abominable and horrible in its reality. It even distorts the essence of Islamic religion, and it descends with it to the lowest level of humane values. However, it distorts Islam and blows up its noble deeds in such a way that one cannot find any sublime values in it.
By God, what do you say, my brother? Give what you have. You have just dreaded the depth of my heart, and anxiety and insomnia have infiltrated my spirit. Sail us across this sea of elucidation, inquiry, which, as you say, collapses our humanity and shakes its basis.
Are you, in fact, as they say, enemies of humanity? Did your value of Eve fall down to lower than the zero? Excuse me, my dear brother. I would not have dared utter such a harsh tone if I hadn't heard well-spoken opinion and exalted wisdom from you about the case of polygamy and its sublime humane objects.
Don't worry, my brother. In my estimation, there is a big issue and a great danger that hurt your heart and feelings in this elucidation. I do not blame you for your tone, but I expect from your lips the content and the purport of this question, which has irritated you and deprived your eyes of sleep.
Oh, my brother, it is the problem of divorce for you. I do not say divorce, but I mean the utterance of the word divorce. This word is light on the tongue, but fearful on the scale. Do you, verily, destroy the life of your life partner, the mother of your children and offspring, sons and daughters, by uttering the word divorce repeated thrice from the mouth of any one of you? The family is destroyed completely and eventually. The children will suffer misery forever, and not to mention the misfortune of the wife on whose part the utterance of divorce was pronounced. What will happen to her in the hell of such an unbearable life? Is the woman an article for sale? Or is she much lower than any article in the world? If the woman was a mare, and its owner wanted to release his title deed to another proprietor, the law would oblige him to conclude a sale contract and to sign it in the presence of two eyewitnesses. Otherwise, the new proprietor would be considered a thief in the very act. This is in the case of an animal. In the language of the law, it is not enough to say, I give you this mare, or I release this mare forever to you. What about a created being venerated by God and of your kind, but she is a female, though unto God there is no difference between a male and a female save by their deeds? Then, for you Muslims who lowered the woman to the rock bottom and heightened the man abusively and despotically until the value of the wife has become nothing, so that such a word damages her life and deprives her of her liver's portions and the blood of her soul. By God, show me, my brother, the wisdom in a hateful utterance such as, I divorce you thrice, if there is any wisdom whatsoever.
Oh, my brother, the free Western scholar, I'll never blame you for a matter which no wise man, having a little bit of wisdom, will accept.
Therefore, you have agreed with me that the verbal divorce is a strong stab in the liver of Islam. It even distorts all its merits because it is a poisonous stab in the conscience of humanity.
Take it easy. Oh, my free brother scholar, the owner of the merciful conscience. Please, let tolerance be your pioneer, because I haven't yet answered you about the wisdom of divorce, for there is no answer for the half of the talk.
I am too eager for an answer that convinces me and removes the condemnation upon Islam from my heart. I beseech you by God to quench my thirst and water my fill in an answer that can erase the satanic incitements against Islam from my heart.
Before I answer you, are you sure that the utterance of divorce is verily something in Islam? and that it is mentioned in our holy book, the Word of God, so that you attributed it to our straight divinity in spite of its injustice?
Verily, I do not know its origin from the Holy Quran. If it is not found in the holy book, the Quran, I am very sorry, and even I apologize from the depth of my heart for this matter. But we are the kinsfolk of Western Europeans, have been informed that the scholars of your religion and most of your denominations acknowledge it.
Therefore, do you accept the word of God, or you satisfy yourself with the falsified word of the creature, just in opposition to what is mentioned in the Quran?
We forever refuse the accusation of Islam except through what is mentioned in your holy book, the Quran.
Therefore, O my dear brother in humanity, lend me your ear in order to advise you of God's decisive judgment in divorce.
O free Muslim brother, by God, succor me from your Quran with what can scatter the darkness around your religion. I am quite satisfied with what is mentioned in the provisions of your holy book, and I am all ears.
Then the Quran is our arbiter, and there is no argument in what is stated in the frank Quran. As marriage is not a mere word said by the man, but it has known stages, likewise divorce has its stages and laws that must be followed when real disputes arise between the two parties, the husband and the wife, and when the situations of their living together worsen greatly. For example, if the wife does not respond to the command of God, and the matrimonial boat is doomed to ruin, God has permitted us thereupon to follow the four steps of divorce hereunder. 1. Sermonizing. 2. Deserting. 3. Slapping. 4. Assignment of an arbiter from his kinsfolk and an arbiter from hers. In the case of the failure of all these four steps, then only one utterance of divorce is completed. It is possible to withdraw it and to return to the matrimonial house in case of agreement. These stages are long range, in order that the woman may return to her rationality and abide with the command of God, so as to let in the compass of happiness in the present life and in the afterlife. Otherwise, hateful separation becomes a necessity. God said, "As for those from whom you fear rebellion, admonish them, then desert them in beds, then chasten them. Then, if they obey you, seek not a way against them." That is to say, only their departure from the rightful way is that which requires the application of the laws of divorce. In such a case, admonish them. That is to say, remind her of death and doomsday. You must learn yourself, then you teach her. If she does not respond to you, to rightness, then you can follow the second step, which is desertion. God says, desert them in beds. That is to say, don't turn towards her in bed. Treat her well during the day and desert her in bed. Desertion in bed extends to 4 months in its utmost limit. As God says, those who forsake their wives must wait 4 months. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow. Verse 226. This is the limit of her patience for lovemaking. She cannot forbear more. If she does not return to her awareness, then you can follow the third step, which is slapping. God said, chasten them. A mild slapping and not a severe one. She will understand from this slapping that her husband is resolving on divorce. If she has a very tiny particle of love for her husband, she will accede to the obedience of God. However, Islam absolutely and generally prohibits slapping except in case of divorce. If she does not even care much for such slapping, This means that she does not care for her husband, and that he has no value to her. If she obeys him, then the waters of love, affection, and mercy will return to normal. God says, "Then, if they obey you, seek not a way against them." That is because she has obeyed rightness. The Holy Quran, Fortress 4, An-Nisa, Women, verse 34. If she did not respond, in spite of that the three steps were completely followed, then the fourth step, mentioned in God's saying, would be taken. God says, "And if you fear a breach between them, the twain, the man and his wife." This means that if her kinsfolk were afraid of disunion, appoint an arbiter from his folk and an arbiter from hers. The two arbiters will try to reconcile between the couple in the hope that disunion may not occur. If they desire amendment, Allah will make them of one mind. The Holy Quran, Fortress 4, and Nisa, Women, verse 35.
I'm sorry to interrupt you for this talk, which was never clarified by anyone before. This talk is very logical and the very spirit of humanity. There is no opposition for it at all, since it is mentioned in your holy book, but I beg your pardon. The scholars of religion accept the verbal divorce. From where did they bring it? Is it really mentioned in the Book of God?
My dear researcher brother, the Book of God has not absolutely any trace of this verbal divorce in it. It is their talking, not God saying. But his is the truth, and all what is beneath it is false.
The men of religion who believe in this opinion, which does not satisfy logic or the humane conscience, relate it to your prophet, the messenger of God. Is that correct?
Oh, my brother, the messenger of God is the ambassador of God on earth. Communication with Allah and peace are through him. The ambassador usually advises the words of his state. Likewise, the messenger of God does not advise, explain, or clarify, except the words of God. For our prophet does not talk from prejudice, but his talk is inspired by revelation. In the precise inspiration, God says, "Say, O Muhammad, it is not for me to change it of my own accord. I follow only what is inspired in me." The Holy Quran, Fortress 10, Yunus, Jonah, verse 15. Only in this verse is an article of restriction. He cannot add, change, or alter anything from his own mind to the words of God. A proof of what I say to you is found in his Almighty saying, "O the Prophet, if you divorce women, divorce them for their waiting period and count off the period." The Holy Quran, Fortress 65, At-Talaq, Divorce, Verse 1. This waiting period is the duration of desertion in the second step that I have already mentioned. Here is, therefore, a statement for following the laws of divorce, sermonizing, desertion, and slapping. During the desertion period, he must treat her humanely, but he turns his back to her in bed and prevents himself from lovemaking for 4 months, as the Almighty has clarified to us. After that, either holding with kind act or the divorcement with benefaction. If the two parties return to their rationality, that is, to rightness. God is a merciful pardoner, and if they resolved upon divorce after 4 months, then God is omni-listener and omniscient. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, Verse 227. This is a statement from God, in which he refutes once and for all that divorce is a mere utterance, and no divorce is to be uttered except by following these laws, even if an oath of divorce was solemnized. Such an oath of divorce imposes a penance, that is, to feed 10 poor people from the midmost food upon which you feed your kinfolk. And there is no speech of a human being that can rise above the speech of the great Creator.
Verily, this divinity is the right religion, the religion of humanity. I know that the biased intrigues upon the Quran try to distort the page of the Islamic religion. What the Quran has said is the very essence of humanity. And what they have alleged about divorce is futile without any evidence for it. Indeed, this subject has infatuated my heart. Please, give me more of what the Holy Book has replenished you with.
Thus, let me complete the subject from all its sides, until there remains no vestige to any slanderer in our religion without rightness. If divorce occurs, God forbid, then it also has its own laws, in accordance with His Almighty saying. The divorcees must lie in wait for 3 menstrual periods. This means that she must stay in her husband's house for 3 monthly periods. They are not permitted to deny what Allah has created in their wombs if they believe in God and the day of resurrection. For by his desertion of her for 4 months and her stay in his house after the divorce for 3 menstrual periods, that is about 3 months, thus she has become deserted for 7 months, 4 months before the divorce and 3 months after it, from lovemaking only. If she is pregnant, her conception will appear clearly, and she cannot deny it in order to free herself from remaining in her husband's house, because her interim period will be extended until she gives birth. When the pregnancy becomes clear, the couple starts thinking on the lot of the baby, and perhaps she decides to comply with rightness, so he cancels the divorce. This is what Allah wants, and that part of the wisdom of God, the Almighty, beyond these steps of divorce. Their husbands are more entitled to restitute them if they want reparation. For the sake of the baby, and during the 3 monthly periods, that is 3 menstrual periods, they, the wives, will have like what is demanded from them with kindness. This means that he must treat her as a wife, and he has the right to return her within that period. Thereupon, God elevates his standing. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 228. The Almighty has shown that it is not permissible to drive the divorced wife away from the house of her husband during the interim period and the 3 menstrual periods, and the judge will supervise this procedure. You do not know. Maybe Allah will effect something. The Holy Quran, Fortress 65, At-Talaq, Divorce, Verse 1. When she stays in her husband's home, she may return to her senses. When she sees his good, humane treatment of her during her stay in his house, she will perceive that his treatment of her has been for God and never for sexual drive. Here she may meditate and refrain from her error to return to rightness.
Therefore, the divorced and the divorcee have the right to retreat from divorce in your religion. They can withdraw from divorce to swagger in a matrimonial life built upon concord. Let's suppose that this wife returned to her queerness again. Is it possible to divorce her and to return her to the matrimonial house for a second time, a third, a fourth, and a fifth time?
You know, my researcher brother, the facts about the law of the spirit. When the spirit conceives something and minds it, it will never forget it if this thing is repeated 3 times. This is what psychology admits and concedes. It is likewise in the Quran, when it acknowledges this natural disposition to be of thrice. So, when the divorce is made for the 3rd time, it is not permissible for the wife to return to her husband in this case, Because the malady of abnormality is an inborn psychological malady. The more the couple remain together with such an ailment, and keep divorcing and returning, the more the number of sons and daughters will increase. The evil of discord and dispute will pass to the children. So, it is better not to go far with the ailments excessive in evil, but to find remedies for them. After the third divorce, the wife will not return to her husband, according to the laws enacted by the Quran, until she marries another one. If her second husband dies, or he divorced her after a long life, then she must consider the merits of their first husband after she had married the second one, by making a comparison between the two husbands. Here, it would be allowable for them to return to each other if they thought the new situation would be for their welfare. That is because every matter has its limits, and when those limits are exceeded, oppression will take place, and tillage and posterity will perish. After your valuable question, let's complete the processes and outcomes of divorce. God said, "The divorce is twice, either seizure with kindness or divorcement with benefaction." The husband has the right to return his wife in the first divorce. Then, if the second divorce occurs in its complete laws, he has also the right to return her. You are not permitted to take anything of what you have given them, except they are afraid not to establish the limits of Allah. If you are afraid not to establish the limits of Allah. A dispute may occur during her stay in her husband's house in the menstrual periods. So, if she wants to redeem herself with money, that is, she acquits him from liability, in case that she hated him and did not want to stay at his home, as well as if she was afraid she might fall in sin, and the husband was also afraid for her, then she has the right to ransom herself and to go free to marry if she wants. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 229. If he divorced her for a third time after two returns in two divorcements along the arrangements of God, as we have mentioned before, there, she will not become licit to him until she gets married with another husband, if he divorced her. That is to say, the second husband. There is no guilt upon them if they both return to each other. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 230. The marriage has two conditions. The first one is the lifetime duration. The second condition is the dowry. It has been shown to us that the morganatic marriage has no roots in Islam, as well as the so-called marriage, the onager marriage, which is a clear breach and distinct violation of the word of God. This onager marriage is to let one's wife get married temporarily and falsely to another who will make love with her for a short time in order to allow her to be able to return to her husband. It is sheer adultery enacted by the devils and their followers from the humankind devils. The problem is that the people believed in what the devils had recited, and they acted accordingly. God said, "Satan had certified his suspicion upon them, and followed him, except a party of the believers." The Holy Quran, Fortress 34, Saba, Sheba, verse 20. If we survey the wisdom behind the possibility of her return after her second marriage, from her second husband, with its two conditions, the duration for lifetime and the payment of dowry, and her divorce from him, we shall thus discover the invalidity of the onager marriage. So the onager marriage is not only temporary, but it is also invalid and offensive. If God legitimizes her legal second marriage in its two conditions, the duration and the dowry, and then a dispute arises and ends in divorce with its complete laws, sermonizing, then desertion, then moral slapping, and two arbiters. There she would perceive the merits of her first husband when she compared him with the second one, as we have already mentioned. She would know that she was rash and mistaken in her lack of compliance with rightness with him. Her spirit would not suggest to her to disobey rightness. If the first husband was returned to her, after the death of her second husband or her divorcement from him, she would then be satisfied in submission to rightness. Thus, happy life could prevail over them. After the occurrence of divorce, it is not permissible for the husband to hold her in detriment, to rob her money. The Almighty God has warned of this point in his noble saying, "Retain them not to their hurt, so that ye transgress the limits." He who does that has wronged himself, his spirit. The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 231. God also warned of making her life intricate after her divorce. That is to stand in the way of her marriage by disgracing her in order to make her hateful to her new husband. "And when ye have divorced women, and they reach their term, place not difficulties in the way of their marrying their husbands, if it is agreed between them in kindness. This is an admonition for him among you who believes in God and the last day. That is more virtuous for you. That is loftier to your prestige and to your name among people, and more cleansing to your hearts than cleaving to her. Allah has omniscience, and you have not." The Holy Quran, Fortress 2, Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 232. That is, you do not know the results which fall upon the dissident. The husband must spend upon his divorced wife until she marries another one, or until she dies. That is for the husband who is God-fearing. But he who does not apply the provisions of God will be overwhelmed with an ordeal. God said, "And how many a community gradually revolted against the ordinance of its Lord Provider and his messengers. And we called it to a stern account and chastened it with dire chastity." The Holy Quran, Fortress 65, At-Talaq, Divorce, verse 8. Islam is a humane divinity, and the charter of Allah is perfect. All of it was revealed but to make us treat one another in benefaction, so that after death we can meet him, the Almighty, with white faces, without squalor, in order to enjoy paradises.
Verily, this is the real statement. We, Europeans, are not convinced except by what is mentioned in your holy book, the Quran, and any other saying is refused to us.